This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
It is Friday night. Welcome into SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us on this very special weekend, the 82nd Masters at Augusta National Golf Club. And guess what? Over the next 2 hours, we have got some incredible guests and some incredible coverage that will be coming your way. We would love to hear from you. So right off the top, you can join us live at Twitter. I always say that. At E-Radio Sports, email the show at info@eradiosports.com. Perhaps you're going to be tuning in a little bit late tonight. Always can go back to our amazing podcast page and site. That is podcastarena.com. And I'm very excited this weekend launching my brand new blog. That's right, we're talking about the game of golf. We will be inside the ropes, the Big E off the tee. Where you need to go and check that out is thegolfmom.com. Before we get underway, though, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every single day. Well, I had just mentioned our coverage continues. 82nd Masters at Augusta National. So many exciting storylines. Tiger's return. Dustin Johnson, his 8th appearance in the Masters. Can he make up for last year's slip and fall to win his second major? And Jordan Spieth. You know, we had an opportunity last weekend to watch him and follow him at the Houston Open. He played very well. And I know that, you know, when he goes to the Masters, he is certainly ready to erase some of those painful memories and always just so much pressure in this major championship. And our guests tonight, they are going to provide some insight and some perspective and also get their takeaways on this year's Master. We are delighted to have with us. We're actually going to do an extended segment with Larry Miller and go inside the ropes. But right now, let's listen in to Tiger Woods and get his thoughts and takeaways on his return to the Masters in 3 years.
I've had anticipation like this prior. If you remember, the buildup was from the PGA in 2000 to the Masters in 2001, 9 months of building up what that tournament would mean. And, you know, it's the same thing. I got to go play.
And that, of course, was Tiger Woods giving us his thoughts on returning to the Masters. Hey, you want to stay close because coming up, our very first guest in hour number one will be our very own Joe George. He was in San Antonio. He's going to give us his thoughts, his perspective on this year's Final Four.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our very first interview, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every single day. We are very excited because over the next 2 hours, lots of coverage for the 2018 Masters, Augusta National Golf Club. It is so exciting. A lot of anticipation for this year's event. I am very excited because back in studio with us, he's back in the saddle. That is Joe George, who went on I-10 last weekend and spent some time in San Antonio for the men's Final Four. You are the ultimate prognosticator because you know what, Joe? I follow you. You had picked Villanova to win it all.
Yeah, I did pick Villanova. I even had Michigan, not in the national championship game, but I had them my original Final Four. So I was really excited about Villanova this year and going to the tournament. I felt like they were the best team, and I tried to talk myself out of it, but it just felt like the right pick, and thankfully it was.
Okay, you're a big NBA guy. I'm sorry about your Bulls this year.
Yeah, they suck.
Okay, so talk to me about Jay Wright. Is he the type of coach that can take his game to the next level? He's kind of like a hot commodity right now.
Yeah, I think he, it seems like he could, and part of that's just the success that he had. We saw it with Brad Stevens. I guess, you know, for me, I kind of wonder what the interest level is for him. It's at this point, you know, to me, Villanova, and it's, I always find it ironic that the blue bloods are always, well, they're all blue, like Kentucky, your Duke, your North Carolina. And now kind of Villanova is kind of that program. Like, they're kind of a blue blood program that is really known for winning now and being consistently good for the last 3 years, two national championships. So there's got to be a lot of interest, you would think, but I wonder if he has the interest. You know, we've seen, you know, the NBA spit out guys, you know, like Rick Pitino in the past, and
that didn't work out.
It didn't work out. So, like, they eat him up, they spit him out. Like, I don't really know how long.
But Brad Stevens coming from Butler, that's a different situation.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know how I feel about Billy Donovan still. Like, how long he's going to last in OKC. So, I think, you know, you're Jay Wright. You could be awful for the next 5 years, but you're a god on campus. So, why leave?
Hey, we're glad you're with us here in hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us. We are live at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. We are going one-on-one with one of our favorites. That is Joe George, SB Nation Radio. Of course, he is the co-host, works with our very own Elvin Hayes on Saturdays in the Post. Talk to me about Villanova in terms of offensively. We know they led the nation in scoring, what, 86 points per game. But that offensive performance that they had against Kansas in the semifinals, it was epic.
Yeah, it was absolutely remarkable. So I went as a fan in Houston when they beat Oklahoma by 44.
Okay.
And in that game, I remember more of just Buddy Hield being not good. Like, he just really struggled to make a shot. That's where, like, that cliche of the big stadium, I felt like, really affected Oklahoma. The Kansas game, it's just like whatever Villanova wanted to do, they could do. I feel like that game was more dominant than the Oklahoma game, even though the point difference was so much more in the OU game. It's like Villanova could do whatever they wanted with Kansas. They were making all their shots. I mean, they set an NCAA Final Four record of the most threes in a game.
18.
They set it in the first half. They tied it at 13. Yeah, and then they went eventually broke it at 18. Like, they could just do whatever they wanted. They were able to get their shots inside, outside. It was remarkable. Like, what they were doing against Kansas, it was unlike them the whole tournament. I mean, I think their lowest margin of victory was 12 points the whole NCAA tournament. They were dominant. They were offensively flawless, basically.
Okay, Villanova, the second title in 3 years. As we look ahead, I mean, the Final Four, the national championship, it's now in the rearview mirror. Joe, is this built to last? I mean, what's the sustainability?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Phil Booth, a junior, Mikal Bridges, a junior, Jalen Brunson, a junior. So it's like you have the potential to bring back most of your guys. I'm assuming Bridges is gone to the NBA. I think he'll be. You mentioned my Bulls. I think that's where he's going to land at like 8 or 9. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. I wonder, you know, what it is for the rest of their team. They're all juniors, basically, except for out of their starting lineup, except for Spellman. He's a freshman. So, you know, I think when it look at, you know, DiVincenzo, Brunson, like those guys, they could leave now because their stock will never be higher. You got a five-star coming in next year. I know they do a point guard. That, yeah, they could. They could totally sustain this. And they could go down as arguably one of the greatest college basketball teams of all time if they repeat next year. And I think, especially with the way college basketball is now, like for me personally, with Jalen Brunson, I covered him when he was in high school in Illinois. And the first time I watched him play basketball, he scored 56 points in a semifinal loss to Jahlil Okafor and his team that eventually won state before Jahlil went to Duke and won a national championship. Well, to me, Jalen Brunson, because the one-and-done culture, Jalen Brunson could, I think, arguably be the best college basketball player in the last two or three decades, one of the best college basketball players of all time, if he goes back to Villanova, makes it to another Final Four, or wins another national championship. Like, it's just so unheard of, guys staying in school that long. If Jalen Brunson walks out with three national titles, the most, the player of the year in college basketball, like, I think it's possible, and I think he should go back, because I don't think his stock will ever get any higher, but I'm not sure it'll ever get any lower. So it just really depends on how they build around Bridges. But we talked about Jay Wright. I think he's a remarkable coach. You might lose those guys, and they might be this good next year.
Hey, Joe George, back with us in studio tonight, Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Joe, I know you very well. You are a college basketball. You're an NBA junkie. I mean, you follow these teams for many, many years. I know you're a young guy. Let's think back when we think about this Villanova program. We're zeroing in on them because you selected them to win the title. How is Jay Wright's teams today? How are they different than when Rolly Massimino was there?
You know, I think the big difference now for what Nova's doing is just the style of offense. And I know college basketball is just, since Rolly was no longer the coach, like it just has really changed. I think the biggest thing is Jay Wright is finding a way to get a lot of second round NBA players. Like maybe they're not lottery picks like Bridges. They're not all like that. They're not ones and dones. But he's finding a lot of NBA players, and I think that's the big difference. I mean, being at the game and you see the celebration of who's there. You see Josh Hart from the Lakers. You see Kyle Lowry from the Raptors up on the stage celebrating with the team. I kind of feel like Jay Wright has just now built this culture where maybe the best of the best don't come, but maybe he doesn't want them. But he finds late first round, early second round draft picks in the NBA, and I think he also creates them. I don't think Jalen Brunson was an NBA player when he left Illinois. Like when he chose Villanova, it's like, okay, he's going to have probably a good college career, but I think Jay Wright's developed him. I just think Jay Wright's, his development of players is incredible.
Okay, so what about the culture with the Kansas Jayhawks? Bill Self, I mean, there's been some disappointment over the past few years that he wasn't able to take his team deep into postseason play. He makes it to the Final Four. Where do you see this program right now going forward?
I think they're just going to continue to improve because a lot of people talk about Kansas this year, and they say that this was his worst team in years, and he got into the Final Four. And
okay,
they've got, you know, they got a kid also happenstance from Illinois, but Charlie Moore, he sat out this year. He was Mr. Illinois basketball, I guess, 2 years ago now. He played Illinois last season, redshirted this year after transferring. He could be a big impact player. So I think Kansas is always good.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great, but they're always good. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they're in the title game next year.
Okay, my final question for you is, as we've had a chance to kind of take in and reflect on this year's NCAA tournament, what were your takeaways and what do you think you learned? Because over the past couple of weeks, Joe, we've talked a lot about why did so many experienced teams go down, like a Virginia, like an Arizona?
So I think, I don't remember the host who said, he's a host out of Milwaukee. I was listening to him on a podcast, and he brought up this point, and I really thought about it, where in his mind, and I agree and totally believe this now, that the talent in college basketball, between the comparison between a 16 seed and a 1 seed, has never been closer, while the talent in college to the NBA has never been farther.
Mm.
And I really believe that, and I think that's kind of what we saw this year, where, yes, DeAndre Ayton might be the first pick in the NBA draft, but it's not that far from college. So I just think the playing field has evened. And that's why we saw 16 seed beat a 1. That's why we saw Loyola in the Final Four.
Right.
It was a great year.
Hey, some good stuff. Great way to kick off the program. Joe George, SB Nation Radio. Have a great weekend. Joe, we missed you.
Thanks, Biggie.
You bet. Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way. Joe just talking about the NBA. You know what? Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders is going to be with us here in hour number one. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is Friday night. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you, guiding you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Always got to take time to pause and recognize our good friends of the program, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. I mean, spring is here. You got to get over to them. They are close, convenient. They are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every single day. On tonight's program, we've been talking a lot about the men's Final Four. But as promised, you know what? The NFL offseason, it is really heating up. We've got lots of news and notes that we want to get into. And we're actually going to shine the spotlight on the New York Giants, who have certainly made some big, they have made some bold headlines about the potential Odell Beckham trade. And we've got to examine that, and always happy to have with us to talk about this pretty juicy news, and that is our good friend with the Metro New York newspaper, Christian Dyer.
I'm glad to be a good friend of the show along with O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Absolutely. Christian, we love when you're on the program. So first and foremost, I mean, bring it. Come on. Don't hold back on any opinions tonight. Just air it all out. What is your reaction to this news that we're hearing? I mean, the Giants said that they are not actively, shopping him. They want him on the team, but you know what? They're not committed to him. I mean, isn't that what we're hearing, or what we're seeing, the message that's being sent?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants right now are the is the guy at the prom who's got the homecoming queen on his shoulder. He's kind of eyeing and seeing what else is out there.
Shame right on him. We throw him in a big elbow.
Well, you know, some of us didn't go to prom. We weren't popular enough. I don't say if that's me or not, but you know, we'll just leave it. We'll just leave that out there. And that's something for me and my therapist to talk about next week. But, you know, listen, the Giants are in a situation right now where they have an awful lot of holes. It's a lot bigger than being, you know, just a 3-13 team that needs a tweak here or there, like the Colts were a few years ago without Andrew Luck. You know, this isn't a team that's one or two players away. This is a team with a lot of issues on the offensive line. Defensively, their secondary is nowhere near where it was 2 years ago. Defensive line, they just got rid of Jason Pierre-Paul, who, you know, is just one of the most dominant pass rushers over the past decade in the NFL. And all of a sudden now they're in a situation where they have Odell Beckham Jr., final year of his rookie contract, Landon Collins, who I think you can make the argument is more impactful to this Giants team than even Odell Beckham Jr. He's also in the final year of his rookie contract. Eli Manning is in essentially the final year of his contract. He has one more year in 2019, but this is the year with all the incentives, with all the cap ties in it. So essentially he's in the final year, and they don't have a ton of salary cap space. So right now, do the Giants want to trade back from number two? Do they want to move on from Odell Beckham Jr.? An awful lot of different pieces in place right now, and an awful lot of uncertainty about if this team thinks they're close to getting in the playoffs or if they're in full rebuild mode.
Well, potentially a lot of moving parts, but give us your personal opinion. I mean, would this be the right move? Because Odell Beckham, when you talk about him, I mean, this is one of the elite receivers in the game.
No, there's absolutely no denying that Odell Beckham Jr., when he's on the field, when he's healthy, which he's been for the most part up until this past year, is arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. We all know that one-handed catch that he made. We all have seen the impact that he has, averaging 90 catches over the past 4 years, 90 catches per season over the past 4 years, 1,400 yards a season during that stretch. This is a game changer. This is a transformational player. But you go back 3 years ago, that game in Carolina against Josh Norman, when there were all the antics, when he was carrying on, when he was a detriment to his team, he cost his team with penalties, you know, very nearly ejected. That was an issue. That was a red flag. He follows it up the following year with picking the fight with the kicking net, barking off at fans, partying on Justin Bieber's boat. The week of the NFL playoffs, that Monday, he's out there partying with his teammates. He brought them along, punching a hole in the Green Bay locker room after losing said playoff game last offseason, all the dating, all the shenanigans he kind of did, which certainly he's entitled to. It's his life if he wants to party with the Kardashians. But again, you wonder where his headspace is, what direction he's going. And then this offseason, that seven-second video that surfaced where it looked like he may or may not be participating in drugs. Now the most recent video of him picking fights in clubs. You have to wonder, is this guy a liability? Mm-hmm. Not just a distraction, Alyssa, but a liability. And when you have a player that you're potentially going to be paying $20, $22 million a year towards, you are essentially building a franchise around him. You want to make sure that he's in that right space. He's in that right mentality. Is he doing the training he needs to be doing? Is he doing the things not only to be a superstar athlete, but really to be a leader on this franchise? When you're throwing that kind of money around, you're not asking him just to be any other player in the locker room, but really to be someone who galvanizes the locker room, that the whole entire locker room revolves around, that they see him as a leader, as trustworthy, as doing the right thing, as setting the tone. To me, Odell Beckham Jr. on the field, when healthy, is absolutely an all-pro player. But off the field, we're not sure if he's always going to make it onto the field on Sundays the way he's acting.
Okay, sports writer, Metro New York newspaper, Christian Dyer, a contributor here at SB Nation Radio on the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. We are live at Twitter tonight. Join us at E Radio Sports. And Christian, I know our listeners, our audience, they love to hear from you. So how can they connect with you?
I'm on Twitter at Christian R. Dyer.
Okay, so if the Giants...
Christian with a K,
special K, I love that. So if the Giants, if they should decide to keep him, I mean, what kind of commitment should they make to him? Because obviously, I mean, his personal life, he's got some things, some areas that he needs to go spend some time with Dr. Phil. He's got to get some things cleaned up. I mean, you can't, you know, have that bad boy behavior.
Well, I, and I'm not sure if the Giants can commit to him. I know they can franchise tag him, and a lot of fans are saying, why don't they do that? That still means that he's making the average of the top five players at that position. So you're looking at a situation where, okay, maybe he would make $22 million a year if he was offered a contract by the Giants, but if you franchise him, maybe he's making $18 or $19 million, which I know sounds not like a whole lot of difference, but in terms of the NFL, there is a difference when you're talking about a couple million dollars. You're also talking long-term viability here. As I said, he's in the final year of his rookie contract. Yes, you can franchise tag him for 2 years. Do you run the risk of him being a training camp holdout? That, to me, is a real issue in the making with Odell Beckham Jr. Also, what are you able to do in terms of team building in and around him? Again, Landon Collins is going to be somebody who's going to be a free agent in the final year of his rookie contract. He's been as big on the defensive side of the ball as Odell's been on the offensive side, with 1/1000th of the distraction level that Odell Beckham Jr. brings. Mm-hmm. And this is a 3-13 team. They need to plug holes on the offensive line. They need a running back. They need help defensively in the secondary, someone to complement Landon Collins, in particular a cornerback. They need another pass rusher. So you're talking about a team that needs 4 or 5, not just stopgaps, but impact-level type of players. I can't help but wonder, Alyssa, if a trade with a team, whether it's the Los Angeles Rams, maybe it's even a Cleveland that's looking to make a splash, all of a sudden, if that's not the better route for the Giants to go. I know 5 years, $100 million, $125 million, with incentives and certain clauses, so it's not all guaranteed money. I realize that could be very attractive for the Giants. I can't help but think that the better part here is going to be trading away, getting first-round pick, getting multiple picks to be able to restock this team.
Okay, you're listening to The Voice. Christian Dyer, sports writer with the Metro New York newspaper. We are giving you the skinny, the latest on the New York Giants. What's going to happen? Will they trade for their star receiver? As you had just mentioned, talking about with the Rams for at least 2 first-round picks, and you believe that he is worth that, right?
Well, I'm not sure if the Giants are going to get 2 first-round picks for him. I think that in all likelihood, they may get a first-round pick. If I'm the Giants, I would eye up 2019 as being the year I get the first-round pick because you want to spread things out. They're going to have the number 2 pick this year, and you got to look in today's NFL, listen, you know this well. Mm-hmm. You got to look down the road and look salary cap, right? You've got a number 2 pick, or if the Giants trade back and get multiple first-round picks, they have to make sure they've got the cap space moving forward so they're not locked in. And frankly, next year might be the year when they draft Eli Manning's replacement. Having 2 first-round picks might let them move up in the draft and get that quarterback that they want in 2019. So I do think a first-round pick and multiple day 2, day 3 picks could work well for the Giants, or 2 first-round picks if a team was willing to part with that. I'm not sure with the liability issue if a team will do that. But listen, the Los Angeles Rams have an awful lot of tickets they got to sell. They've got a stadium there, the Coliseum. That's about 2/3 full, and that means it's about 25,000, 30,000 empty seats. So maybe they're willing to say, we're picking in the late 20s the next couple years. We're a playoff-caliber team. We're not going to get anyone near the caliber of this guy. He puts us over the top in the NFC. Maybe it's worth it.
Okay, so we highlight the future of the Giants, what's going to happen perhaps with Odell Beckham. Let's quickly shift gears. We've only got a couple of minutes. Talk to me about the Jets. What's been the focus in the offseason? Is it all about, with this upcoming draft, getting a good quarterback?
It certainly has been quarterback. And when you look at what the Jets did, moving up from number 6, trading with the Indianapolis Colts for that number 3 pick, sending the number 6 and 3 second-round picks in order to make this deal happen. You don't do that, at least I don't think so, to draft a guard. You don't do that for an edge rusher and Bradley Chubb. Now, the Jets may end up in a scenario where a team leapfrogs them, trades with the Giants, and then 2 quarterbacks are already off the board at that point. But right now, I certainly think that they're looking at drafting a quarterback, whether that's Darnold, who's going to be there, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, whoever that may end up being. And look at also the guys they brought in free agency. They re-signed Josh McCown 1 year. Teddy Bridgewater 1 year. If that doesn't say bridge, if that doesn't say stopgap, I don't know what does.
Okay, Christian Dyer has been with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check him out. Metro New York newspaper. Listen, have a wonderful long weekend. And we look forward to catching up with you right before the draft, okay? Yeah. Well, you take care. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio. That is SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. The next generation of sports radio, that is SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every single day. You bet. It is time for some NBA news and notes. Always look so forward to this segment. Time to get you ready for the NBA playoffs. That's right. We've got the Masters going on this weekend, but you know what? We have got the NBA playoffs coming up. My favorite time of year, April 14th. We are ready for all the predictions out of the West, out of the East, those final spots, and thrilled to have back with us. That is Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com. And so, Steve, the playoff picture, it is almost set. There are a few spots up for grabs. Before we preview some of these matchups, these potential matchups, I want to get your thoughts. Let's weigh in on the college basketball season. It's come to an end. Villanova is now the new national champion in men's college basketball. And already we're hearing some NBA coaching rumors. What are your thoughts on some of the college coaches that perhaps could be ready to turn pro? I know you are very dialed in with so many of the league's executives and the coaches and the scouts. What say you?
Well, you know, the transition from college basketball to the NBA has been a tough one. You know, there hasn't been a lot of success. I think everybody looks at Brad Stevens in Boston and thinks, okay, well, that worked. Let's go get another one of those. But I think the one thing about Brad Stevens that was so different in his college career was that he had to kind of run Butler the same way you would an NBA team. He had to recruit very differently because they weren't a marquee program. He had to be very analytical driven because he wasn't getting the rock star high school players. You know, he had to develop players, again, because he wasn't getting the rock star players. And all of those things prepared him to be successful at the NBA level. And when you look at those characteristics, there aren't a lot of them. You know, a lot of the marquee names, when you think about John Calipari and Tom Izzo and all of those, you know, those aren't the guys that probably are going to do well in the NBA. But Jay Wright at Villanova has that written all over him. And when you look at this Villanova team, you know, they had some guys that became household names, but when the season started, they weren't. And he had to grow those guys, and he had to, you know, be diverse and really build a very balanced team. And I think that's what makes him a very interesting, you know, option in the NBA. And look, you know, college basketball money at the top is pretty nice money. You know, when you look at a John Calipari making $7-8 million a year to coach the Kentucky Wildcats, you know, that's good money. But the NBA can offer that and offers that almost every year. So there could be a bidding war to try to get Jay Wright out of Villanova. But he said a couple of times, the AD has said a couple of times, he seems pretty happy where he is. We'll see what happens when what could be 10, 11 NBA jobs open up. There's just not that many new coaches that he's not going to get a really interesting phone call.
Well, Steve, we look at the body of work for Villanova's Jay Wright. I mean, his second title in 3 years. He's taking care of business. So what I hear you saying is that his coaching style, it does translate to the NBA.
Very much so. And I think that's the one thing is the coaches that have that track record of, you know, really building through their team. You know, team oriented, you know, Kentucky is program oriented. Michigan State is program oriented. It's about the coach. It's about the assistant coaches. It's about what they do. And I would say those coaches that are known more as basketball factory type guys, you know, those guys generally haven't done well when they transition to the NBA because you have to be better than that. It can't just be name recognition alone. There's one guy on the college basketball side that I think might be interesting, and that's Sean Miller at Arizona.
Okay.
And the only reason I think Sean Miller coming over makes sense is because he's been involved in all of this crazy stuff with the shoe companies and paying players, where that may be where you see more of an exodus of college basketball coaches, those ones that may be looming and having dirt around them that they might not be able to recover from at their current jobs, then that's where the NBA and the lure of the NBA might get interesting.
You're listening to The Voice, Steve Kyler, Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com. You can connect with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. At Twitter, we are live at eRadioSports. Always email the show, info@eradiosports.com. Steve, talk to me about, what do you think is the biggest difference from coaching on the collegiate level as opposed to the NBA? Because as you had just highlighted, so few have success on the professional rank.
Well, in college basketball, it is the coach's way or the highway. You know, you don't get to where you're going if you don't buy into what the coach wants. Coach will bench you, and there goes your career and your pro prospect. In the NBA, when players make 2X what their coach makes, when players have guaranteed contracts, when players are the star of the team, you know, if it push comes to shove in Cleveland, if it's LeBron or the coach, they're shoving the coach out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in college basketball, it doesn't work that way. If you don't get along with the coach or you don't believe in the coach, you go away, not the coach. And so it makes coaching much more about, can you reach the player? Can your message and your process translate to guys that have all the money in the world and all the talent in the world, and they need somebody to push them over the edge from an X's and O's point of view? Being a personable type person, you've got to sell a little bit more. You've got to be more media savvy in terms of working the process and being a spokesperson for the team. And these are all very different skills than what you need to be successful in college basketball. What you need to be successful in college basketball is a recruiter. You got to get the young kid to say yes to your program. You know, for the most part, recruiting isn't a factor in the NBA. And when it is, it usually doesn't involve the head coach.
Why do you think Mike Krzyzewski has never gone pro?
You know, there was a situation there where the Lakers went after him.
I remember.
And offered
sure.
an amount of money that was insane at the time, and he ultimately said no. And I think it's kind of two-part. Is one, he's gotten a chance to coach some of the best in the world with Team USA, and so you've gotten that chance to really do at the pro level. I think he loves the relationship and the situation that he has at Duke, and I think the fact that, you know, he's paid at the very top end, and, you know, money's not a factor for him. He's got the program he wants, and he's got a legacy that he really believes in, and the fact that young kids are still saying yes to his program, and at this part, it's a program that hasn't had a lot of scandal, if any at all, associated with it. He's been able to run his program his way, get some of the best players in the world to come through there. He's getting everything he wants out of his coaching career. I don't think, you know, he has that desire to try to prove himself in the NBA. You know, again, he's an older guy. He's more towards the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He views himself more as a college coach than a pro coach. And, you know, I think because he has all of those things in place and kind of an unquestioned place in all of it, you know, it'll be his job until he doesn't want it anymore. I think all of those things have been why, you know, coaches get hired to get fired in the NBA.
Okay, Mike Krzyzewski, as you said, is an older guy. We were talking about just a moment ago, Brad Stevens, how he has just been sensational and made a seamless transition after leaving Butler to the NBA with the Celtics. He certainly had his share of skeptics when he first came on board there. Why do you think, Steve, why do you think he makes it look so easy?
Well, he puts in the work. I think the one thing about Brad Stevens, and this has been from day one, he's not a guy that's afraid of the work. He creates genuine relationships mm-hmm. with his players. You know, he reaches out still to former players mm-hmm. and checks in on them, you know, guys that aren't on the roster anymore. He backs it up. And, you know, I had a good friend of mine, David Thorpe, who's now with Flow Sports, you know, talked to me about this. He said, you know, one thing players are really good at is they're good at understanding if you're here to help them or help yourself. If you're just trying to help yourself,
yes.
players generally don't buy into that. But when you are genuinely, and there is a genuine belief that your coach is trying to help you, guys will run through walls for you. And I think the genuineness of Brad Stevens, and then, look, it doesn't hurt that he's had some success. I think that always helps. Winning cures everything. You're going to believe guys that are winning. You know, there have been great coaches that lose their locker room because they haven't had success, and it didn't mean they were bad coaches. But I think the fact is Brad does the work. He's genuine about it. I think he's always innovating in terms of pushing his players to do things better, smarter, and his players getting better as a result of it. And I think all of those things line up to explain why he's had so much more success.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going one-on-one, hooping it up, getting you ready for the NBA playoffs. Steve Kyler, Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com. And yes, there are only a few days left in the NBA regular season. Steve, before we preview some of these potential matchups, how would you summarize how this particular NBA regular season, how it's played out?
you know, it's been different. One, I think that, you know, the vulnerability of the Golden State Warriors and the fact that they've had, you know, some injuries and the fact that they've missed some of their star players, they got off to a slow start. You know, it seemed like, okay, it's going to be the Warriors and the Cavaliers when it's all said and done. And it may still play out that way, but it hasn't played out that way in the regular season. You know, Houston's been every bit as good as expected, maybe a little bit more. They're breaking records, franchise records all over the place, game one on the road, you know, threes made, all kinds of crazy stuff. And they just seem to be getting better as the season goes. But, you know, Toronto sitting at the top of the East, nobody expected that. You know, Utah without Gordon Hayward has been as good as they were last year. They're right in that same hunt. Miami's been really good. Indiana loses Paul George. They've been good. The Thunder were a mess in November, and they're starting to look better. The emergence of Damian Lillard as an MVP and what Portland has done. San Antonio getting it done without Kawhi Leonard. All of these things somewhat unexpected. I think the bottom played out like we thought the bottom would play out, but you know, the middle of the NBA has been a lot more interesting this year than I think in any of the past couple of years, because there are a couple of teams in the middle that you probably don't want to see. I don't think you want to see the Portland Trailblazers. I don't think you want to see the Utah Jazz in the first round. I don't think you want to see what's becoming a really interesting Miami Heat team in the first round, because they've been so good at home. So there's been a lot of things that I think played out that were a little different than scripted. But I think we saw some new stars emerge as well. Like I said, Damian Lillard has been amazing. Victor Oladipo has been amazing. You know, there have been young guys that are stepping into that next generation that I think has been good for basketball.
Okay, but what happened, as we're talking about the Eastern Conference, what happened to Detroit?
You know, the problem with Detroit is, I think, one, you lose a guy like Reggie Jackson. Whatever you might think of Reggie Jackson individually, that's a huge part of what you are as a team, and certainly a huge chunk of what you are from a salary cap point of view. And him coming back was probably a little too late to really change anything. You know, they tried to run kind of that same core before the trade for Blake Griffin, and that thing had played out for about 16 months and just wasn't going anywhere. I think the Blake Griffin trade made them different. I don't necessarily know that it made them better, but it certainly made them different. But they were willing to kind of take on the risk of different because they weren't going anywhere.
Hey, Steve Kyler with us a few more minutes. SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Steve, you know that we are here in Houston. A lot of excitement going on with the Rockets right now. Will this be their magical season? Of course, they're facing Oklahoma City. The Thunder on Saturday night. Is 2018, is it their year?
Maybe. I think the one thing with Houston is, you know, we haven't how proven this particular group is. You know, I don't think their second-tier guys get enough credit, whether it's Luke Mahmute, P.J. Tucker. You know, they've become a defensive force to be reckoned with. They can certainly score with anybody in the league. They're going to be able to put up, you know, 100, 110 points in the playoffs, no problem. You know, but is it sustainable? And I think the reason why I question it is just because how hard the team collapsed when James Harden didn't show up in Game 6 last year. You know, but with the Warriors being banged up, with the likelihood that Steph Curry is out maybe through the second round of the playoffs, there's a window where Golden State's going to have to get it done with less than full power. And then the other part, you know, Steph Curry's had this MCL injury before. When he came back, he had one good game, but was a shell of himself. So you don't know what it is. If the Warriors are not at full strength, or more importantly, somebody like Utah, somebody like Portland, you know, makes them have to go the distance early on, where you've got to go 6-7 games to just get to the next round, that's going to play to Houston's advantage a little bit, because the more Houston gets comfortable in the postseason, I think the more deadly they're going to become.
Okay, just a few days left in the NBA regular season, the playoffs starting Saturday, April 14th. We are going one-on-one here in hour number one with Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. We're going to step aside for a quick break, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our NBA news and notes continues with Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders. Okay, the Rockets face the Thunder Saturday night. Talk to me about, as far as, what should the mindset of head coach Mike D'Antoni be? Does he need to be, you're talking about so many injuries, does he need to be resting players right now? I mean, it's the end of the year.
A little bit. I think you're always playing the game of rest versus rust. You want to get out of your rhythm. You know, basketball is a very rhythmic type process. want to get your guys the right amount of minutes. You want to keep them in the routine. But the routine breaks itself when you get into the postseason. So there's not a lot to be gained. There's no more ground to cover. You're going to end the season with a number one overall seed. You're going to have home court all the way through. And more importantly, you've got some guys that kind of need to get into a little bit of a playoff rhythm. Guys like, you know, Joe Johnson, who came in as a buyout guy. You know, you got some young guys that you want to maybe get kind of ready to run a little bit if you need them. And then more importantly, you got guys like Eric Gordon, who's had knee issues all of his career. Maybe you want to slow him down a little bit. You know, James Harden would play every minute of the game if you'd let him. You probably want to dial him back a little bit, make sure he's got some juice. So I think you have to be measured, but you know, the one thing is you can outsmart yourself and create a problem that didn't exist. So you've got to be, you know, smart about that too.
Mm-hmm. Less than a minute. Steve Kyler with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Give me a hit on the Spurs, the latest on Kawhi Leonard and potential trade rumors.
I think it's a little premature to talk about trade. I know that a lot of people have said, you know, teams are going to come calling. The NBA is a blood in the water type business. Anytime that somebody senses that maybe a star player is available, everybody shows up the door to find out if there's something real there. You know, the challenge with Kawhi, and it all goes away if he plays. If he gets back on the court and plays, it's all going to go away. But until he does, you know, Kawhi's a troublesome communicator. He's not somebody who's going to be open and talk about things. And it's created this kind of artificial rift that, you know, the team doesn't know what's going on with him. He's now away from the team again. You know, you're talking about $219 million he's eligible for in July. You know, that's a lot of money and a lot of things that are at risk that are more than just a single season. You know, Kawhi's career hangs in the balance, or at least financial future hangs in the balance. So there's a lot going on here, but I think it's premature to think Kawhi's going to get traded. They're certainly going to hear about it. But the overall thought is they're likely going to pay him and keep him before they get rid of him.